Now, like most people, I've spent a fair bit of time in a doctor's waiting rooms, hanging around waiting for an appointment. But what if instead of spending all that time in the waiting room, you were turned away because your case was too complicated? For bulk billing GPs, seeing patients with complex needs is leaving them worse off due to stagnating Medicare rebates. And this has resulted in some patients reportedly being told to go somewhere else. Dr. Bastian Seidel is the president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. Dr. Seidel, welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me. Look, it certainly is a concern for us because patients want to spend more time with their GP and GPs want to spend more time with their patients. But the Medicare rebates, the way they are structured now, really don't allow that.
What does a complex patient look like?
Well, a complex patient is somebody who does have, you know, multiple chronic medical conditions. It's a patient who does have a mental health condition, you know, who is depressed, for example, or suffers from bipolar disorder. It's a child who just needs more than 10 minutes, you know, to have a thorough physical examination and, you know, a proper, you know, medical history taken. So look, quite frankly, if we are looking at international evidence, you know, other countries such as Switzerland and Sweden, the average consultation time there is over 20 minutes, you know, 25 minutes, and there are obvious benefits for patients and for practitioners. But, you know, here in Australia, if patients want to be bulk billed, it's going to be increasingly difficult to see a doctor who is spending the time. The financial aspect just doesn't allow that.
Do you know how many people are being turned away because they are, quote, too complex?
So we are hearing that some practices are not accepting patients who have mental health conditions, or some practices just can't, you know, accept, you know, children anymore if the practice's policy is to bulk bill. And, you know, you could argue it's really great that practices are still trying to bulk bill, you know, in this economic environment here where costs are going up and up and up. But again, you know, what are patients going to do then? There's just no need for that scenario. We need to look at how we fund patients better to see their GP. It's the patient's Medicare rebate. You know, it's not the doctor's income. So it's the patient's entitlement to say, you know, the Medicare rebate should reflect the time that's been spent by a health professional with me. It's a no-brainer, and we need to look at how we make this work really quickly.
For people who are going to their GP to get a mental health care plan, which I understand is a prerequisite for seeing a mental health professional, that usually requires a double appointment. Now, on top of waiting lists for mental health care can be incredibly long. So are mentally ill people being hit with a double whammy here?
Yeah, it's something we unfortunately hear as well. As you said, you know, to do a proper mental health assessment, it just takes more than 20 minutes, takes more than half an hour, it takes an hour and above. And it's not just on one occasion. Often a patient has to come back again. And we also need to, you know, look at, it's not about mental health only. The physical aspects also play an important role. So it's not about focusing on the mental aspects only. You know, patients who have mental health conditions still need to have their physical health looked at as well. What we see now then is that some patients are just being straight referred to, for example, Headspace. And, you know, they have to travel again to go to a different center. You know, Headspace is heavily subsidized by the federal government as well. But there, you know, they're only being looked after with regards to their mental health needs, not their physical health needs. So it leads to a fragmentation of care. Patients get all confused because they see multiple doctors, you know, multiple health practitioners, and that's not what they want. You know, they want their GP who knows them best, who they have a professional relationship with, you know, to meet their needs. And I believe it just needs to be funded appropriately.
Okay, before we talk about that funding, this is dangerous, isn't it? Because if somebody presents with a mental health issue, they could well be in a very, very, very vulnerable position, and seeing a doctor might be of critical importance.
Oh, absolutely right. And again, you know, if some GPs might decide to refer the patient then straight away to an emergency department, you know, and often that's the last place, you know, where a patient should be ending up, but the only place, you know, where some time potentially can be spent. But of course, the emergency department presentation costs the taxpayer so much more. It's at least $250, whereas, you know, a consultation with the GP for the taxpayer would be far less expensive. So, you know, we keep being penny wise but pound foolish, and I think we just have to do a better job here.
Most of us think of doctors as people who are pretty well off, pretty highly paid. So are you telling me that the way the system operates, some people, some GPs don't fall into that category?
Look, I'm not going to blame the doctors here, because if we have a look at the income of GPs now and compare that to other hospital doctors, for example, we now know that the average income of GPs is now less than half compared to the income of a hospital doctor. Less than half. You know, imagine it's, you know, $100,000 debt after graduating from medical school, you know, ongoing professional fees and so forth as well. We GPs know that our income is limited in general practice. But it also means in order to keep practices viable, in particular in socially disadvantaged areas or in regional areas where people just can't afford to see a doctor, we at least try and bulk bill them. But again, it means the consultation is just going to be so much shorter. So it's a compromise that actually doesn't work for the patient. It's a compromise that doesn't work for the practitioner. And we just need to fund GPs better in order to provide longer consultations.
Okay, bearing in mind we do not have a bottomless pit of money and we do want to keep the bulk billing system going, what would you say as a president of the Royal College of General Practitioners, bearing in mind you do have a very much a kind of a vested interest in this, what do you say the government needs to do to fix this situation?
Look, I want to be very clear. The Royal Australian College of GP is not, you know, financial industrial lobby group. We're an academic medical college and we're arguing with evidence. And the evidence is very clear. If you fund general practice properly, you are going to save a lot of money because patients don't end up in the hospital system and we can, you know, prevent a lot of presentations very early on. If we have a look at the data, the federal government only spends $1 a day for patients who see their GP in Australia. So around about $360, $370 per year. If we have a look at how much the federal government spends on hospital care, that's $2,500 every year per person in Australia. That's on top of what the states actually pay, and that's on top of what the private health insurance, you know, cost us as well. So have a bit of a think. You know, it's less than 4% of the total health budget that goes into general practice. With that amount of money, we are seeing 85% of all Australians every year. So we can't do it any cheaper. It's the, you know, the bottom basement bargain, really, of the health sector. But something's got to give. You know, we can't provide the excellent world-class care our patients deserve, you know, with minimal or no funding.
Dr. Bastian Seidel, thanks so much for speaking to RN Drive this evening.
And thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Bastian Seidel there. He's president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners.